with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune and a long time contributor to the station, as well as a valued friend. And he joins us, as all our guests do, brought to you by Arturo, your weather, all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the coach spoke yesterday. There was all sorts of news, many different things to get to. But there wasn't a lot you could talk about. He did appreciate the question.
Yeah, we do appreciate you asking, though.
Yeah,
Brad.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying their very best to turn the page to Arizona here and get on to the next game. And when you step in it, which is what they did Sunday against the Commanders, that can be difficult. You know, it's real when you talk about a team learning how to win. And they've been able to win a little bit this year, but you, along with that, you've got to learn how to handle prosperity. And they weren't able to do that because they couldn't stay focused through an entire football game. And now they're looking at a lot of pressure to go out and beat an Arizona team that's been super competitive in some of the games it's been in this season.
Brett, I was underwhelmed by Matt Eberflus yesterday. I don't think he met the moment. I had higher expectations than I shouldn't have, I think, based on history. But I also feel like he was trying to thread the needle publicly and find a middle ground between maybe what some people feel like is an overreaction to Tyreek Stevenson and making him inactive or doling out that kind of discipline to doing nothing at all. Did you hear a coach that is likely to have dealt with this in his own way internally, and we may see that on Sunday, but without maybe going as far as some people may have wanted him to go?
Yeah, I think just because Matt Eberflus said that the communication with Tyreek Stevenson would remain private doesn't mean that we'll see some public fallout for Tyreek in Sunday's game, just because he doesn't want to discuss how he goes about discipline with players, which, frankly, that's not surprising. Doesn't mean something's not coming for Tyreek. That's what I walked away with, and quite frankly, I didn't expect him to say spell out what the situation was going to be for the cornerback. You know, he may not have won the press conference yesterday. I thought he was a little bit better, but what matters is if his football team is better. Can his offense snap out of a funk that it's been in the first quarter and first halves of football games this season? Because it's 100% going to be about the product that's on the field.
You know, it's a good point, Brad. I felt like Eberflus was true to who he is. Like that is kind of, as I watched it and as I listened to it, and man, I just thought that he's just being him. That's him. That's who he is.
You're right. It was unrealistic to want him to rise to the occasion.
I was pleading with him to kind of understand what was going on outside the team, and you need to know that it's not just. It's not just the team and the players. It's everybody in the league coming after him. And I thought we would see maybe he would take notice. But apparently he did tell them not to be second-guessing all the coaches outside the operation. He made that clear. DJ Moore talked about that. We'll get into that. But, Brad, you know, before the game, when we were doing the pregame and we were talking about the things to look for, I had it in my mind – What we had talked about with the failure on third down in the first quarter. And I thought if they went to work on anything, they would go to work on third down first quarter, get some points. And instead, we saw they had a third and 15, and then they were lined up false start, whatever it was. They had a third and 20. That was the first one, and that failed miserably. And the next one was a third and 10. And it's exactly the same issue. They did not improve that over the bye week going into the Washington game. Will they improve that somehow going into this Arizona game, another road game, 3-17 on the road?
Yeah, you better hope they improve it, or else they're going to be chasing once again, and they, that's difficult. I don't care what kind of weapons you've got on offense and who you're playing, and this is a, you know, an Arizona team that hasn't been great in a lot of regards. Arizona Cardinals, 32nd in the National Football League on third down. Opponents are converting more than 52% of the time. Cardinals, 26th in pass defense, 29th in yards per attempt defending the air. They're 27th overall in total defense. They're giving up 141 yards rushing a game. So there's an opportunity for them to go out there and put together a good offensive game. But I didn't think a whole lot of that Commanders defense. Like, I think it's like average. And it was a tractor pull for them until the fourth quarter when Caleb really sparked, which is, you know, it's crunch time. That's when you want to see the young quarterback rise up. It's been forever since you felt like there's a Bears quarterback that's going to be money with the game on the line. And Caleb went out there and he did that. And the shame of it is they had a chance to win a game they probably had no business winning. And they you talk about threading a needle. Like, I mean, to lose that game in that fashion, in that manner, I don't care if Tyreek is still standing there in that corner of the stadium yapping with fans. The percentages of completing the Hail Mary are extremely low.
Brad, what did you think of Caleb Williams, the way he described good teams and great teams? Good teams, coaches lead. Great teams, players lead. I have not really heard it put in that context before. I've thought a lot about that. I think in great teams, probably players and coaches lead. But I am curious, based on all this discussion this week, our civic lesson in leadership, what you think about Caleb Williams describing it that way?
Yeah, I think I'm with you, and I'm sure he probably means it that way as well, that like great teams, you're going to require some elite coaching leadership as well. Like great teams aren't just, you know, you got players sitting at the front of the bus taking their turn driving. Great teams in Kansas City are led by Andy Reid and some fantastic players, but I don't think anybody tries to short sell Andy in his role, right? You know, you look at when Belichick was winning like mad in New England, I think people gave him a ton of credit for leadership, and it wasn't just player leadership there. So I think I would imagine he meant, and I'm not trying to speak for him, but that, you know, the great teams have elite leadership basically in every corner of the organization. And that's something they're trying to develop here. Like the culture, the winning mindset, all that. I think that's in a growth process for them. And you guys know I'm not a fan of that, the whole culture talk. Like, they've talked about their culture the past couple of years, and I'm like, yeah, you've got like last place culture going on. That's where you are in the division. They need to continue to improve in that area. They need to understand how to win, and they've got to understand how to prosper, because as Cole Kmet alluded to earlier this week, you know, maybe they were cutting a corner here or there, and they're not good enough to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Those are the most damning comments, really, that came out of anything. They're not good enough to do that. I think the other thing that was really interesting to me that Caleb said is that he was asked about keeping Flus off the sidelines. And I did not see that in real time, but when you looked at the tape, the guy was definitely on the field. And you see Caleb Williams pulling him off, and he said something which was either the most subtle, damning comment I've ever heard or just a statement of fact. He didn't want them to get more yards for nothing, which didn't they just do that the play before? It was hysterical the way he termed it. I don't think he was going after the coach. But if you look at it the right way.
It was so understood. It was like a given.
Well.
They just gave up those easy yards. Let's not give up anymore.
Yes. I laughed at just reading the quote.
Yeah, you'll see coaches on the field during plays. Yeah. That's not super uncommon in the National Football League. And it certainly doesn't get called all the time. But, yeah, he was just trying to rein them in there. And it was it was a perfect storm that added up against the Bears, and it showed that you've got to have everything buttoned down, through the last play of the game, and it's unfortunate because they'd be 5-2 right now, right? But if they had been bending some of those corners and got to 5-2, would they be taking corrective measures this week, right? And I don't know the answer to that question. I'm asking.
Yeah, that's a good question, Brad. It is, because you don't know how that would have come across or the message would have been delivered.
Because we'd be talking about like the quarterback that's a rookie that led the rally when things looked bleak. We'd be talking about the defense holding, what were they, number one or number two in the league in scoring out of the end zone. There'd be so many different things. They'd be on their first four-game winning streak since 2018, but the previous four-game winning streak, and they had two in 2018. Before that, you got to go back to 2012 for a four-game winning streak. I mean, it would be seashells and balloons this week, guys.
So, Brad, it's not seashells and balloons on the offensive line. What are your expectations for Larry Borum? What does Ryan Bates bring to the table, and when? Because the injury list was much longer than it should be or you'd want it to be, and Montez Sweat's name still is on it.
Well, you're giving me a lot to tackle there. Let's stick with the O-line to start with here. There weren't any new surprises on the O-line in terms of health coming out of the game.
What
Bill
about
Murray
Kieran Amagaji? That was a new surprise.
I saw him in a walking boot leaving the locker room. So what they've got going on there is Braxton did not participate yesterday, and it's just an estimation because of the walkthrough, and Tevin Jenkins was limited. So my belief is that Larry Borum probably takes Bill Murray's roster spot by Saturday. Wow. They've got an open roster spot. This is Larry's second week in practice, barring a setback today or tomorrow. I would think he gets that roster spot. If Braxton with the knee can't go, my guess is that Matt Pryor, who profiled as the swing tackle during training camp, that's where you saw him lining up the most at right tackle and left tackle, slides out to left tackle, creating an opening at right guard, which my guess would be Nate Davis slides in there. Could be Larry, but I think that's probably how they handle that. If Tevin is unavailable, Nate Davis almost certainly will be playing, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do at left guard. That could be Borum. That could be Doug Kramer. In terms of Ryan Bates, they started the practice window for him yesterday. It was just a walkthrough, so today will be his first practice. In a perfect world, I think it's taken 2 weeks on the practice field to kind of try to get him back up to speed. They're not in a perfect world on the O-line, but I think it would really be rushing it for a guy who has missed a considerable amount of time on the grass since August, right? He missed some time, came back, played in that opener, and then was out again. So I think that really might be pushing it. To me, it's more realistic for Bates to potentially be active a week down the road before the New England game, but we'll have to see.
Are we kind of admitting that Amagaji was a wasted year? I just think that he was hurt when you drafted him. I know there was value there, but the fact is that he wasn't ready to start the season. He makes the roster because he's a third-round draft pick, and then you're kind of stuck.
10 games left.
Trying to figure out. But, I mean, he's going to be out for two of them, right?
I wouldn't call it a – I don't know that I would call it wasted when you – I think the plan all along was for him to be able to learn on the practice field and develop on the practice field. And yeah, if this calf issue is something that keeps him out for quite a while, then you're looking at a setback. If he's back on the practice field here soon, you're feeling like he can develop in the meeting room, develop in practice, and that's what the plan was from the jump. I don't think the plan was this guy comes in and competes for a job as a rookie coming from the Ivy League. So in that respect, I don't know I would call it wasted.
So, Brad, wanted to get your opinion. We haven't talked about it, but I know Molly noticed it. Velus Jones, cut by the Bears, signed by the Jaguars. How about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you see a player with elite physical talent, and this is what coaches at every position will tell you. So they feel like, you know what, I can unlock this talent or whatever in this player that they were unable to get going elsewhere. Like, what they couldn't figure out, I've got the key to. And Bayless, 4.31, 40-yard dash, he's got strength and size. Like, all the physical skills are there. Jacksonville is really struggling, could probably go for a spark, so they take a shot at it. Not surprising.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Let's get back to the pass rusher. What is the deal with Montez
Sweat?
It's a Wednesday practice. It's a Wednesday walkthrough. It's not a practice. When or is he the kind of guy that just has to be there on game day? And especially against a quarterback that fast, right?
Yeah, and it'll be important to have him. This is another athletic quarterback like Jaden Daniels. And how did the Bears react? They had six defensive ends on the active game day roster at Washington. Like, they wanted fresh guys in there to try to contain him and prevent him from doing damage. Kyler Murray is super athletic as well. They've played him before. They know what they're going up against. I thought Eberflus was relatively positive about the possibility of Sweat with the shin injury being available in Arizona, and that's going to be key for them. They need to get some heat on him. They really, you know, with Kyler Murray being shorter, the guys you really want to see have a big game are Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings. Push the pocket from the interior, so he really struggles with space to step up, and then have the guys on the exterior keep him in that pocket. But this would be a great week for Dexter, who's been a lot better this season, guys, to maybe have the kind of game that gets him a little more recognition around the country. Bears eighth in the league in sacks per pass attempt. So they've been solid rushing the passer. They need to step it up here.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. We will be right back. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.